The Old Testament reading is Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and 10. The conversion of Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the scripture lesson today, the gospel lesson, comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Two different passages. The Old Testament, Jonah has a job to do and didn't want to do it. And Jesus giving a job to these first disciples that he calls. And they says, immediately. When I was in seminary, we would have tests over when I was in the New Testament, over the New Testament and the Old Testament, and the professor would just put in the passage and we had to know where it came from. Which book of the Bible did that come from? Which gospel lesson did that come from? Which letter of Paul did that come from? And so we learned to look for little clues. And the professor was pretty good at also reminding us. And the word immediately was a clue. In the Gospel of Mark, you will see the word immediately often. There was this immediately we have to go. Immediately we have to do this. And in this case, immediately we must change our job. We must leave this job that we thought would be ours forever and do something different. So it makes me think about my jobs and the jobs that I've had. What about some of you? Do you think about what jobs you have been part of throughout your life? Some of you have had such an incredible experience and have had varied jobs. I sort of haven't. But I do remember a time before I had a job and all I wanted was to do something, to work somewhere, well, so I could make money. I had this allowance every single week, and that allowance had to pay for my lunches, and it had to pay for some incidentals that I may have, and then if there was anything left over, I could splurge, you know, on, I don't know, maybe a new pen. But I wanted my own money in the worst way, and so I was a babysitter. I loved it. I loved babies. I loved children. It was so much fun. And with the exception of one or two families, and this was in the days before caller ID, before you couldn't just say, oh, no, let's not answer that phone. They're going to want me for Saturday night, and I do not. Usually it was the families whose kids stayed up till like 11 o'clock at night, and the parents came home at 12. But I loved babysitting. I loved it, whether there were tiny babies or whether there were toddlers or whether there were elementary age kids. I loved it. And I kept like a little bag of stuff. If I found little trinkets, I would just kind of put it in there so that when I went to their house, there would be something new. And sometimes I would have to watch it because, you know, little kids, they're pretty sneaky and they'll stick that in their pocket and then there goes my favorite. You know how that goes. I loved my babysitting years, and yet, as many of you know, if you were a babysitter, you're not going to get wealthy unless you're like Mary Poppins or something. And so when I got to be in high school, the town that I lived in had two what I would call fast food restaurants. There was the Dairy Queen on one side of town, and then clear on the south side of town, they built, I can't even begin to tell you what thrills came through they built a Burger Chef. You would have thought that our town had gone crazy, like we had never had fast food like that. Now, this was before drive-thrus, but it was still awesome, and I wanted to work at that Burger Chef. The Dairy Queen was too much. You know, you had to learn a whole bunch of stuff, and you had to do one of my friends worked there, and man, she was really smart, and I knew I couldn't do that, but I figured I could probably do the Burger Chef job, and I tried my best. It was the very end of my junior year, and I was just getting ready to turn 17, and so I went to apply, and the manager said, well, we really don't have anything, and besides, you're not 17 yet, so no, come back in 2 weeks. And so by golly, 2 weeks to the day, I went back. Well, you know, we still don't have anything. Why don't you come back in another 2 weeks and we'll see. 2 weeks to the day, almost to the hour, I was there. Well, Laura, we still don't have anything. Maybe come back in 2 weeks. That went on for about 2.5 months. And finally, the manager told me this long after. He said, we really still didn't have a place, but by golly, you were so persistent. We just thought, we might as well hire her. She's going to be coming back every 2 weeks. I loved Burger Chef. I loved it. It wasn't necessarily the food I loved, but I loved the people that I got to work with. I loved the experiences, and I worked my way up to assistant manager. Assistant manager at Burger Chef means that you were 18 years old or older, and there you go. You could have keys, and you could lock up the place and make sure everything was done at night. In the midst of that, I made some really great friends. In the midst of that, I got to have experiences I never would have had if I hadn't been given those opportunities. I loved my Burger Chef years. Now, on a side note, and I've probably shared this with you before, so I'm going to share it with you again just so you'll remember, because it was kind of stunning to me. The place where our Burger Chef was located was right across a highway from a very exclusive subdivision. And just on the other side of our town, on the edge of Indianapolis, was Burger Chef headquarters. So guess who lived in that very exclusive subdivision? All the corporate executives from Burger Chef. You never knew when they were coming in, and you didn't know who they were. And one time when I was the assistant manager, I got a phone call, and the manager said, Laura, I just wanted you to know, I just drove around your restaurant, and there's ketchup on the outside wall. Get on that. Go get that cleaned. You never knew who was going to be watching. But I love that job. What do you remember about your first job? What do you remember about the time when you just could hardly wait to get to work? Do you remember the thrill of it? Or was it just the excitement that eventually there would be a payday? I never, ever had an experience like Simon and Andrew and James and John did. I never had an experience of while I was working, somebody would come by and say, hey, I've got a better job for you. I've got a job that will change your life and will turn your world upside down in all of the great ways, and you will be able to influence people for generations to come. Now, Jesus didn't say all that. And you can see in this one, he just says, follow me and I will help you fish for people. You're doing this job really well, but let's take it up a notch. And let me help you fish for people. They had absolutely no idea where that would lead. And they had to leave their homes, leave their families, and follow Jesus. Scripture doesn't explicitly tell us in here, but when you study these men who were working an adult job, most likely were husbands and fathers, and they left their home to follow Jesus, somebody who just came and said, boy, oh boy, follow me. And they did. I love that. I love it more that I know that these four, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, were ordinary people just like us. And Jesus called them. And Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us to serve God. That doesn't mean that we have to all leave our homes, because if we do that, well, that's messy. But it means that when Jesus comes to us and says, oh, I've got something for you, will you leave behind for what I am offering? It happens to every one of us. We're all called. We are all called to serve God. And this is the other thing that I know as I read through Scripture. Every job that we have, whether it's babysitting, whether it's working in fast food, whether it is teaching school, whatever job God gives us to do, it's there to build up and maintain society. It's our calling. Now, I know that kind of sounds a little, well, out there. But I know when I was 18, I was called to work at Burger Chef. I know it. I remember, and I still have friends from those years ago. And now you can do the mental math to know how long ago that was. I have relationships that we built. And I have memories that will last me for as long as I'm on this earth, and I hope beyond. It was my calling at the time. Just like it's my calling now to be here. We serve God wherever we go and whatever we do. We serve God in our neighborhoods. We serve God in our schools. We serve God wherever we are. I remember that when I went to seminary, one of my friends said, oh, now you get to serve God. And I wasn't very smart. Well, I'm still not all that smart, but I wasn't very quick that I thought, what do you think I've been doing? I've been serving God my entire life, just in different ways and in different positions. If every single one of us who wanted to serve God went to seminary, well, imagine what that would be like. It would be horrible. Because God doesn't call us all to do the same thing. Who would we have that would be the incredible musicians if we all went to seminary? Who would we have that would do the work that needs to be done to keep our building going, to keep our community going? See, we're all called to different things, but we are all called. We're called to serve God wherever we are and whatever we do. I don't believe that I serve God more now as a pastor than I did when I was babysitting. I don't believe that I serve God more now than I did when I was teaching school, or when I was working at Burger Chef, or when I was working at the Access. God makes it happen. God makes it happen. And it's through the work of the Holy Spirit that we hear the words of God and God's grace, and we hear the call. It's that time when the Holy Spirit breaks into our lives and sometimes taps us on the shoulder, sometimes has to shake me out of my sleep so that I can hear the call of God. And then I hopefully obey. I wish I could tell you I obey all the time. I don't. I fail miserably every single day. And yet, God says, I believe, God says, well, Laura, let's just try again tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be better. I like the fact that the lectionary text has this text of Mark, but also gave us the text of Jonah. Did you pay attention as Susie was reading it so well? Jonah was called to proclaim the message to people he doesn't even like. He didn't even like them. It would be like asking me to go tell a family, a household of people who graduated from the University of North Carolina and give them the good word of the Lord. I would have to steel myself up for that. Jonah was called to people he didn't even like. And you know the clue that we had for this message? We had a huge clue. Here it is. I don't know if you paid attention, or I don't know if you heard it at all, but Jonah said after he went, wait a minute. This is what happens when I don't underline things in my Bible. We just had that conversation. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his message. Did you count the words? Eight words, not even 10. He couldn't even get a sentence into double digits. He really did not like these people. I can almost hear his thoughts. And because, you know, sometimes it reflects a little bit of my thoughts. Okay, well, I'll go, I'll give the message, but it's going to be brief. And if they don't catch it, well, that's their fault. Too bad for them. Don't you think? And yet they did catch it. It was an 8-word message. And we only looked at chapter 3. But in chapter 4, after Jonah gives the message, and God is pleased, and people turn to God. Chapter 4, verse 1. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. Do you love it? You could almost hear him say, oh, God, why did you make me do that? They are my sworn enemy. And now they've turned to you. Jonah teaches us so much, because that was his call. And while he was angry, while he was just put out that God would put him in that position, he did it. God taught Jonah, even if I don't like it, even if it makes me so angry and mad, if God asks me to do it, do it. Now, on a side note, you know, also what I take from that passage is, I guess if I don't do it with a grateful heart, it still is okay, right? Now, did you take that? But that was Jonah's story. God writes with us our own stories and how we are called. And in this lesson today, in the gospel lesson of Mark, we hear that these men immediately left what they were doing, left their homes, left their families, and they followed Jesus. It seems so simple, and yet. I found a book written by Ched Myers, who is a person I didn't know, but I found it. And his book is called Binding the Strong Man. Binding the Strong Man. And he reminds us that the disciples were called to very uncertain futures. Jesus didn't tell them this is what's going to happen, and he just said, come, follow me. They had no idea. Perhaps Jesus' call to discipleship is not to take people out of their cozy world and promise them this beautiful life in God's kingdom. Instead, perhaps, God's plan is to change the world in such a way that it won't be a hostile place anymore. It will be God's reign that's established here on earth. I think that's God's plan from the very beginning of time. And we are so stubborn. But when Jesus called the disciples, he was calling them out of their comfortable world to go help make a difference in the world to come. And certainly they did, because today we're still reading about them. Today we still remember all the parts that the disciples had to go through. They weren't being called on a vacation. They were being called for maybe up to 3 years. Time is a little nebulous. But they immediately went because there was something so compelling about Jesus that they could not turn away. There was something so compelling about the message that there might be hope for the people who are poor, for the people who are dispossessed, for the people that are excluded, and for the people who are invisible. It's God's plan and God's hope. It was in the time of Jonah. It was in the time of the disciples. And it is certainly that way now today. God calls us to those people who feel excluded and invisible and neglected. And God calls us to say, come, come with me. And let me show you a light that shines brighter than anything I have ever seen. Because that's who God is. That's who Jesus is. And that's who Jesus calls us to reflect. Can we also join Simon and Andrew and James and John? May it be so. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.